Potential, Not Pathology, embracing creative and resourceful approaches to psychotherapy with author and therapist, Dr. Paul J. Leslie.
Welcome to Potential, Not Pathology, where we offer information and inspiration for mental health therapists who are interested in learning and applying unique therapeutic techniques and concepts into their work, with a focus on the potential each client brings to his or her therapy session. This program examines ideas and tools which can assist your clients on their journey toward healing. I'm Paul J. Leslie. I'm glad you're here. Welcome. Today, I thought I'd just spend a short period of time talking a little bit about something I don't read enough about in the psychotherapeutic literature. And that's the importance of a client's values, utilizing their values in therapy. As we have mentioned on many occasions, we seem sometimes to spend so much time focusing on what's wrong or what the problem is, that we forget that our client brings a lot of untapped resources with them into the session. And instead of us working so hard to try and find solutions to problems, sometimes we can maybe just step back a little bit and find out what specifically our client is bringing in terms of their values. Now, I looked up the term value in a dictionary, and what it stated is a value is a relative worth, a merit, or importance. So if we think of it about it that way, and we think of a client's values as what's really truly important to them, a lot of times we'll see that the reason that they're showing up in our office is because they become either confused or have been separated from their values, or their whole world's been turned upside down, that they don't know how to access what's really important to them. An example of this would be how often society wants us to take on their values. Our family sometimes wants us to take on their values. And sometimes mental health is really just finding what is your highest value and putting your attention on your highest value. That's where healing comes from a lot of times. I read a book a while back called The Values Factor, written by John DeMartini, who's a personal development trainer, among other many things. And DeMartini was stating about how everybody lives their lives based on what's important to them, their values, or I'll refer to it as the priorities. When we are in line with our values, we oftentimes are able to create, you know, magical outcomes in our life. But if we feel like we're not able to access or follow our values, what's truly important to us, a lot of times we suffer. And sometimes the suffering is pretty needless. So when a client comes in to therapy and they are in a state of despair, you know, the question is, how do we utilize values of the client to create, good therapeutic outcomes? Well, we have to, again, go back to this idea of what is the problem. Now, if we think of the problem being in a frame, and if we look at the problem and we're trying to solve the problem, the only way we can solve the problem is to be in the frame of the problem. So, for example, a solution, generating a solution, you have to be in that frame. Now, by stepping in the frame, now what are we doing? We can't have a problem if we don't have a solution. We can't have a solution if we don't have a problem. So, not that a solution is always a bad idea, but if specifically we're the ones trying to create the solutions, we're accepting, you know, this overpowering problem, and our focus can't get out of that frame. So in order to really begin to assist people more effectively, we need to step out of the frame of the problem and step into a different frame, a resource frame. And one of the resources I have found that people naturally bring with them to therapy are values, their own values. One's highest value, a lot of times, is something that we can access and utilize to create changes in the person. For example, if let's say someone's coming in and they're having excessive stress due to situations at work, well, we start asking about what's really important to them, and we find out that one of the top values they have is their family. Well, in order to deal with the stress, it might be, I don't know, a good idea to make sure that there's more time with family, carving out more time with the family, directing the client to spend more time with family or taking a trip with the family somewhere to get away from the stress for a little bit. You know, something to generate access to the resource of the value, the highest value being in this scenario, the family. Another person, maybe the highest value in their life is playing music, and they're coming in and they're having a messy breakup, and they're suffering through this pain of a breakup. Well, if music is their highest value, let's say playing music, well, how much music are they probably playing? Usually not enough. Anytime we get kind of knocked off kilter, our focus on our value sometimes shifts, and so we don't feel compelled to focus our attention on what makes us happy or where the most important part of our life is. We focus on, again, the problem, the frame of the problem. So we may direct this individual to start focusing more on the value, which would be playing music. I once had a client, a young teenager, who was suffering from depression, but he loved playing music, and he was trying to learn how to write music and all of that. So I directed him that if he was going to be suffering, he might as well be good at it. So he needed to become a blues player. So we came up with a plan about how he would, you know, write me a blues song to talk about what he was, you know, experiencing with this depression. And what's really interesting is not only did I get a pretty good blues song, but over time the depression eased a little bit. And then I started kind of indirectly pushing him to play with other people, you know, other, you know, people who might be interested in rock and blues, and started making more contacts through his music. And some more of his depression lifted. So what ends up happening in a lot of cases is that we overlook what the client is bringing in terms of their values. So easy question to ask your client. What's really important to you? What's really important to you? And sometimes you'll get the I don't knows and all that, but if you're a good enough therapist, you've been around the block, you know how to work around those. But come back to what's really important to you. And then maybe make a list of the top 3 to 5 things that are most important to this person, and put them in a kind of a hierarchy and order. So it not only helps them kind of clarify what is important to them, but it gives you an idea of a variety of values that you could pull from. Just on a personal level, about a year and a half, almost 2 years ago, my wife at the time decided that she was no longer interested in staying married to me. And I can't tell you what a devastating blow this was for me, because I had put absolutely everything I had into this marriage, and doing everything I could under sometimes rather trying circumstances to make things work. So as I went through this process of separation and then divorce, I made a conscious effort to focus my attention on what the highest values were in my life besides my family. And that was my highest value, was my family. But, you know, my other values were writing, teaching, speaking, training, therapy, you know, doing those kind of things. So I threw myself in, maybe too much, but I threw myself into doing those things because I knew that this was going to be a very hard road for me to go down. So by, you know, exerting effort to focus on doing the things that inspired me, I was able to kind of get through that time period probably a little easier than if I hadn't accessed highest values. because those things still inspire me. My top values in the world are, speaking. I love to speak. I love to train other therapists. I love to, do what I'm doing right now, talking in this microphone for the podcast. I love to write articles and blog posts and books and do recordings. So I am fortunate that I've been able to have a career in which I've can get paid for doing the things I love to do. So during that hard time, throwing myself into the things that I value really assisted me on a personal level of making it through. Now, even in difficult cases, we can find a way to access values. And I'll give you one particular one that sticks out in my mind. It's been a while back, but I had this couple come in, and they went through something that, in my opinion, is probably the worst thing anyone can ever go through. If it's not the worst, it's in the top two. They had to see their child kill himself. He put a gun in his mouth, and he pulled the trigger and just blew his head off right in front of them. It was just horrific to witness, let alone to hear about. And when we all love our children, and that just sounds like the worst thing ever to go through, and it is. So they came in about a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks after this happened. So let's put a frame here. Here's the problem in the frame. Guess what, folks? You can't solve this problem. There's no solution to this problem. All we can do is assist them on their grief and move them toward resources to deal with the grief. So, as first part of the session was just me learning kind of what brought them in, and there was a lot of grief there, a lot of tears, a lot of hardship. I mean, I even found myself choking up just listening to this horrific scenario that this poor young man had suffered from mental illness issues really his whole life. And what was nice was that, they didn't, blame anybody for this. They just kind of felt that, biologically he was dealt a bad hand. But as they were talking, I started hearing a high value. And they said something about that they don't, I think it was something like, well, we just not going to blame God. And so my ears perked up when I heard that. And so I asked them, so is your faith during these times important to you? And they both resoundingly said, yes, absolutely. We love God, and we know that God's not going to abandon us. And we know that God didn't have, anything to do with this. This was just a tragic event. So I'm hearing a high value. And so I asked them, is that's really important to you? And they both stated that their relationship with God was the most important thing to them, their highest value. So what I thought about was, if we can't solve this problem, we might as well access this resource. So as we were talking, and I asked them more about, their religious beliefs. I'm not a religious person, but I always honor the beliefs my clients bring in. And then something asked me, I said, back in my mind, I need to get these folks fully engaged in that value. So I asked myself to say something to them. So I looked at them and I said, would you guys out loud, say a prayer for this whole situation, for yourselves and for all of us here? And they smiled and they said they would, and they were trying to figure out who was going to pray. And I said, well, who prays at home generally? And it was the father. And so he said this wonderful prayer, and it was very touching and very moving. And then right after he finished saying it, we sat there quietly for a minute. And I asked him, I said, have you ever thought about going into the ministry, being a preacher? In that moment, something shifted in that room. He started crying. She started crying. Well, I thought it was, you know, just because, you know, the grief of their son. But through the tears, she starts stammering something of, he's always wanted to be a preacher, but he just didn't know where to begin, or something like that. And he's nodding his head. Oh, my goodness, what a resource just presented to me. So I started asking them. I said, well, what, you know, what would it be like for you to be a preacher and you to be a preacher's wife? And it led us into a dialogue to where it ended up to where we said, well, we need to get you training to eventually be a preacher, because you know what? Great preachers sometimes have to go through the worst suffering to be able to really understand people, to get people, you know, focused on things other than their hardships and their troubles. And so what we did, I can make a long story real short, is that we set up a time for him to do a little mini service in their home. And they chose the very day and time, which was, I'm thinking it was like Wednesday at 5:30 or 6:30 or something like that, where their son had killed themselves. And they named this hour after their son. And so what we decided is that they would light a candle, and then he would pray, and they would talk about God and about things that were important to him. And it only had to be a few minutes. And they could invite other people who knew their son over. And he this guy was pretty reluctant because, you know, he didn't have the confidence to become a preacher. But in my gut, it's like, this is the resource here. Their relationship with God was their resource. And what's really funny is, in a good way, is the next time I saw them, not only had they made a tremendous jump in their grieving process, but people had heard about his or their hour, or you know, time that, where their son died, and having a service, and they started showing up, friends and family and friends of friends. And so he ended up having a house full, a living room full of people that they would pray with and talk with for about a, you know, half hour to an hour, and interact with. And they were getting support from the community, and they were giving support. And the best thing was, their highest value was being activated, which allowed them to move through this natural process of grief, of dealing with the most horrific thing a parent can probably ever go through. Now that, to me, is pretty remarkable. And these things don't happen when we, again, stay in the frame of the problem. So just by asking what's really important and moving people to that, it may not eliminate the problem, but what does it also give us? Coping skills, the ability to move through the ebb and flow of pain and pleasure in life. So asking your client, you know, what's really important to you? What do you really enjoy doing? Sometimes I ask about hobbies. I ask about things that, you know, make them feel creative. I had a young lady the other day who's going through a situation where she has her partner who she's having to leave due to his substance abuse issues. And so much of her time has been spent trying to keep him clean and sober. She's pretty much ignored all of the things that are highest in her value, which is art, which is, you know, the sensual quality of living, of, you know, food, and, you know, so she's very right brain creative. So we just set up some directives for her to take an evening where she's alone and just, you know, pull out a canvas and start painting, and not even caring about what it is, and enjoying, you know, a good food from her garden and cooking it. And it's, you know, party of one, but yet to make it a party, an artistic party. And these are the kind of things that we want to start getting our clients doing. Because it's one thing to teach them how to spot their irrational and negative thinking, and that is a very important thing to do. And I totally, you know, agree with that. But we also need to give them things that move them in a positive direction toward accessing the values. So, you know, we as therapists, we need to figure out what our values are. What are your highest values? Sit down and write them down and think about them. Because one thing I have found and one thing I had read about in the book, The Values Factor, was that people will always revert back to what's really incredibly valuable to them. I see this in my own students at the college I teach psychology. And I hear all the time how much they value their education, how much their education is a priority. And some of them, it's true. Others, however, it's, they say it, but and maybe their intentions are good, but it's not really true. For example, I ask them how much they study, and they say very little because of work issues or family issues. And then on further investigation, I start to hear about all the television they watch and all the fun things they do on the weekends and those kind of things. Nothing wrong with that. But what's clear to me is that their values, their priorities, are based on having fun and watching television. And again, nothing wrong with that. However, if you're going to be successful in an academic endeavor, the academic endeavor has to start taking priority over these other things, or it's going to be a constant struggle and potentially constant failure in your grade. So, you know, getting clear on what's valuable to us and also what's valuable to our students, to our clients, I think is very crucial. Asking what's important, asking about values, asking what they do for fun. I mean, I had a young man who was going through a divorce, and what he wanted to do was comedy. He always wanted to do comedy, like comedy clips on the internet, like YouTube and those kind of things. So instead of spending all of our session talking about his feelings about his divorce, I encouraged him to find a way to, you know, set up a camera or, you know, set things up to film certain aspects of these comedy routines. And he just the idea of almost getting permission to do that seemed to inspire him. He seemed to have more energy. It seemed like the depression lifted just a little bit. So he began focusing on, you know, writing these little skits and you know, filming them and you know, even setting up kind of like one of those blogs where he could direct people to his videos and those kind of things. I don't know how long he did it or how far he got, but it was another way to guide him toward these resources. So for him, humor and being successful at something are wonderful coping strategies for dealing with the inevitable ending of his marriage. So the more time we spend, you know, really examining what our clients' values are, the more we can assist them in moving forward through whatever the problem is that they brought to therapy. Now, a lot of times, it seems kind of simple, but we make it more complex because it comes down to, are we able to do what's important to us? You know, that's a lot of times that's what keeps us mentally healthy. I find so many times people in their careers and their families and their day-to-day interactions, they're trying to be something that they really aren't. And this process of trying to take someone else's values and impose it upon oneself can create a great deal of anxiety, can create a great deal of struggle, can create a great deal of depression. And it's in getting clear to what's really important to us. What do we really want to do? And not, you know, subjugating the essence of who we are to some kind of outside value. I remember talking to a doctor years ago who he was a good doctor, but he was not really fulfilled because he never really wanted to be a doctor. He liked helping people, but I think his family wanted him to be a doctor, and he was, you know, mentally, you know, intellectually good at that. But at the end of the day, it wasn't very enjoyable. He was not fulfilling his highest value, which was scuba diving. Believe it or not, he wanted to scuba dive. So, you know, I said, well, how can we scale back on being a doctor and maybe focus more on scuba diving? And so he eventually started doing part-time, got certified and started teaching part-time scuba classes. And, you know, fortunately, he was able to financially scale back his workload, and he found that he could create a little bit of a balance in his life and still enjoy helping people, but not become so overwhelmed with it as it often is if you're a medical doctor. But, you know, take time to do those things that really are a high value for him. So as we wrap this up, make sure every session, particularly your first session, are you really focusing on what your client's bringing in terms of values? What's most important to them? Maybe ask them if they weren't having this problem, what would they be doing? If they weren't having this issue, what would they be enjoying? If they weren't having this struggle, what would they be having fun doing? And you're getting then information to utilize in your directives to give them strength in these outside resources. They're not really outside themselves. It's just they've kind of become detached from them mentally and emotionally because their entire focus, attention, has been going to the problem. So if I ask them what's important to them, what's fun for them, what kind of hobbies they do and all that, and giving them kind ethical directives to do those things, you may find that the person's mental state shifts a little bit more positively, so that other work that you need to do might be more effective rather than just strictly problem exploration. So I hope this has been beneficial for you today, and maybe again for you. Figure out what your values are. Are you really living your highest values? If you're not, how can you begin to rearrange your life so that you can do the things that most inspire you, that you can do the things that most bring you meaning and personal fulfillment, at least most of the time? And when you do that, you know, life becomes a little bit easier, certainly more enjoyable, because as we've seen, it goes by so quickly. We might as well be doing the things that bring us comfort and joy. As we end, I want to again thank everybody who's been so supportive about these podcasts. I've been getting messages from all over the world. And if these moments that we spend together have been helpful to you and you're able to utilize these ideas with your clients, then I am just absolutely ecstatic. I am fulfilling my purpose, and that is one of my highest values, because the more we can help each other find new ways to heal, then we're making the world a better place. And so I'm very appreciative, and thank you so much. And I hope you're having a wonderful day and a wonderful week, and keep focusing on your highest values, and I look forward to speaking with you again very soon. Take care.
Thank you for listening to Potential Not Pathology with Dr. Paula J. Leslie. If you enjoyed the show, check out our website at potentialnotpathology.com, where you will find programs and articles showcasing unique and creative therapeutic applications.